Good afternoon and welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. The manhunt is still underway for an unidentified suspect who fatally shot Baltimore Detective Sean Souter last week. Police and state officials are now offering a $215,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of the assailant. And Judge Catherine Blake issued a decision in the decade-long lawsuit between Maryland's historically black colleges and the state. The lawsuit concerns diversity at these colleges, both predominantly white institutions and the HBCUs. And Judge Blake ruled that neither party's solutions were adequate enough to boost diversity within the HBCUs, which was an original intent of the suit. So without a clear victor, many are wondering if it's back to the drawing board for this case, which has drawn out now for some like 12 years. I'm pleased to welcome Kamau High back to the show. He's the managing editor of the Afro-American newspaper here in Baltimore. Hey, Kamau, how you doing?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. So you've been covering this.
Yes.
It has been going on for a long time.
Yes, since 2006. The suit was originally filed by HBCU alumni, some current students and supporters of HBCUs. And essentially what happened in the suit is the HBCU said that the sort of special and important programs that they had been duplicated by the traditionally white institutions, thereby drawing students away from the HBCUs to the traditionally white institutions. Now, the judge did rule maybe a year or two ago that de jure segregation was in fact going on here in Maryland. And this
is a federal court.
Yes.
That's saying, you know, this is, de jure segregation. In other words, it may not be intended to be.
Exactly. But the effects are segregation. Like, that is black and white. That is just what we have to accept. And so now here we are. The judge has said that previously the judge had said, like, listen, you two bring me your solutions and I will decide between them. The traditionally white institutions essentially offered a relatively small amount of money to the HBCU, somewhere around $10 million, and offered to give them some financial aid and some help marketing. And while the HBCUs were asking on their part for some of the actual programs, such as the business program at Towson, to be moved to, say, Morgan State University, and then other highly regarded programs just to be moved. And now on November 8th, the judge ruled that she didn't like either proposal. And so as a result, she has appointed a special master who has not been named as of yet. And the special master will have a committee to help him or her with this, come up with a solution. And she has given the special master about 1 year. No budget has been set as of yet. And hopefully at the end of the year, a solution that is amenable to both parties will be on the table.
It's somewhat redolent of the consent decree, isn't it? You know,
I mean,
here's a person who's going to oversee some group of people.
Mm-hmm.
The person hasn't been chosen and the group of people hasn't been chosen. The amount of money they're given to work with hasn't been determined. And they're going to try to come up with something that, you know, various people have tried to arbitrate. I mean, didn't Kurt Schmoke, the current president of the University of Baltimore and former mayor, he stepped in and tried to have the two parties come to an agreement. I mean, Does anybody think, for example, that the HBCU proposal to move lock, stock, and barrel programs from Towson or University of Baltimore or somewhere wherever to an HBCU is plausible? I mean, you can imagine the opposition to that. Places like Towson University.
Yes. Well, in her November 8th ruling, Judge Catherine Blake did say that is off the table, sort of moving any programs. She essentially said that any new programs that are started at traditional white institutions need to go through the special master to say, like, okay, is this something that should maybe start at an HBCU, or is it, you know, perfectly fine to start at a traditionally white institution?
Because people point to programs like engineering, bioscience. Those are currently in the purview of several HBCUs, so they need to stay there, be strengthened.
Exactly.
And if you're a white or black student or Hispanic or Asian student looking for those programs, you're going to want to think about Morgan State. You're going to want to think about other places.
But yes, say only the HBCUs had those programs, then ultimately the idea is to essentially desegregate the schools. And you know, traditionally when you think of segregated, I tend to think of like all white, but in this case they're talking about they're 99%, but about 80% black. And since they are state funded, you know, the idea is that all students from across Maryland and across the country should attend these schools. They should not just be primarily African American.
So right now I guess it's about 12% of students at institutions that were, of course, had a long legacy of being all white.
Yes.
Now about 12% of those students are people of color.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a competitive dimension to HBCUs. And there are various, you know, reasons that students choose to go to an HBCU or not. And we've talked about some of those, you know, the philosophies behind those
yes.
decisions. But, you know, HBCUs are feeling like they're being left behind because they're losing some of their market share, I guess.
Exactly. They from their point of view, they're losing what makes them special, what makes them stand out in the crowd. I mean, they will always be historically black, but they feel that they can offer more things, like say at Morgan State, which has a highly regarded engineering program.
So are there any numbers, because if there are, I don't know them, and maybe you don't know them either, but are there any numbers about the numbers of white students attending HBCUs?
There are numbers. I mean, it's a relatively small percentage. I think it's around 5%, maybe 6%. There are also HBCUs in Maryland tend to have a relatively large immigrant, or I should say non-American population, particularly from the Middle East. But yes, the vast majority of the people who attend are African Americans.
So, I mean, there's a tendency to think, you know, yet here's now the you know, they tried arbitration, they tried going to the judge, the judge says nope, nothing's working, and she seems to be, in a certain sense, is it unfair for me to characterize it as kicking the can down the road a little bit, because now we've got yet another person and even a committee of people engaged to figure this out where no one else has been able to figure out over a period of 12 years?
Well, I mean, you know, kicking the can does sort of seem like what she's doing. I mean, the fact that she's the judge is sort of like, your job is to decide, like, yes, it should be this, this, and this. You know, while she has set out that the special master was only to be there for 1 year, there is a clause in her ruling that says, like, well, if we need to, you know, sort of renew his or her contract and keep it going for another couple of years, that is a possibility. So, I mean, hopefully we won't be here after another 12 years hoping for some sort of resolution.
And meanwhile, all these programs continue at both places, the
exactly.
HBCUs and the PWIs. Police announced that they're going to clear the scene of the killing of Detective Sean Suter
yes.
over in Harlan Park. They're going to clear that scene today. They had mm-hmm. kept it as an active crime scene. You know, there were people who lived in that block and in that neighborhood who, you know, had to show identification mm-hmm. in order to get back home after work, that sort of thing. There's now an enormous reward. I mean, a bigger reward than is often put up in cases like this, $215,000 mm-hmm. by the last count. T.J. Smith, the spokesperson for the police department, said it shouldn't cost 69 cents to have somebody give information about this assailant.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's always a tragedy when someone dies. I mean, the neighborhood in West Baltimore, Harlan Park, has essentially been on lockdown for the past 6 days when Detective Sean Suter was shot and killed in the head on Wednesday late afternoon. And so now things are slowly starting to come back to normal, although obviously a suspect has not been named, a description has not been issued, and police are clearly on a manhunt for his killer.
It seems that there's some notion that somehow Detective Suter was shot with his own gun.
Yes, I mean, details remain unclear. I mean, the police did say that Detective Suter had fired his weapon. Whether or not he was killed by another bullet or his own weapon is unclear.
When you talk to folks in the African American community, the sources that you have, and as you cover these and other stories, is there, you know, a sentiment that, well, here it is, this police officer who happens to be a person of color himself mm-hmm. is shot, and there's all sorts of attention paid to him and mm-hmm. his loss, or there's attention paid to Mr. Rubleski, the 41-year-old white bartender who was killed at a Royal Farms store down on Ford Avenue last week, and that, you know, this shows the inequity between the attention given to these kinds of cases as opposed to the people who are killed day in and day out, 309 strong so far in 2017 in the city of Baltimore.
Well, I mean, there is definitely, rarely do you see the governor of Maryland offering a $100,000 reward for one of the more than 300 killings that have happened here in Baltimore this year. I mean, it's clear there is a disparity. There are more police resources being dedicated to this. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a block locked down for 6 days. That's extraordinary. I mean, and obviously everyone wants his killer to be found, but, you know, I think also people want all the killers to be found. I mean, it is like the fact that we are over 300 murders in this year in Baltimore and on pace to surpass the record number that we had in 2015 really sort of says something about the state of our city.
Given the unrest we had in 2015, given the Justice Department's scathing report that followed that unrest, given the consent decree that's now in place with the Baltimore City Police Department, and given this kind of thing, and this is Detective Souter is in Harlan Park mm-hmm. looking into a murder that occurred there a year ago.
Yes.
There have been an enormous number of murders, almost a dozen or so in just the last few years in that one little neighborhood of our city. Is there a sense that, you know, things are turning around in terms of relationship between the community, the African-American community, and the police department? Maybe would the idea behind this enormous award is that someone will step forward and say, this is a person you should look into.
Well, I mean, the police have definitely been making community outreach efforts, you know, aside from the murder of Detective Souter. But, you know, as the Department of Justice report detailed in sometimes graphic and gripping testimony, there has been a long pattern of police sort of injustice amongst the African-American community here in Baltimore. And that will take a very long time to repair.
Yeah, big barrier to get over, even in a situation like this. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, Kamau, you're going to come by every couple of weeks.
And yes, I am, if you'll continue to have me.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to keep an eye on the stories that you're covering, perhaps some stories like this HBCU story, but in particular that very few other people are giving a lot of coverage to. So appreciate it. We'll see you soon. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much.
Kamau High is the managing editor of the Afro-American newspaper. We'll check in with Kamau every couple of weeks to talk about the stories that the Afro is looking into. We have a link to the Afro at our website, wypr.org/midday. Coming up tomorrow, it's the Midday Health Watch with Dr. Lena Wen. Mayor Pugh recently directed all city agencies to prioritize violence reduction in their daily operations, including the health department, plus the status of the ACA and open enrollment here in Maryland. We want to thank the Diz for supplying lunch today. They're located at 300 West 30th Street in the heart of Remington. They feature signature burgers, wings, steaks, and jumbo lump crab cakes. The Diz is open for lunch and dinner with breakfast served on the weekends on the web at thedizbaltimore.com. I'm Tom Hall. On behalf of the entire Midday team, we appreciate your listening. Have a great day.